4 o'clock hour here on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. I'm Nick Schwert. Derek Johnson in studio with me as well. Happy to have you with us on a pretty dreary Wednesday afternoon here in Lawrence, Kansas. Let's see if this next guest can brighten our day. Jesse Newell of the Kansas City Star joins us on the program. Jesse, I've been kind of posing this hypothetical question to my guests all week long, but let's say you're an NBA GM, front office executive. You've got a draft pick at the end of the first round, and you're looking at Frank Mason, you're looking at Svi Mykhailiuk. Which one are you going to draft?
Well, you would think there'd be a lot of other options besides those two.
Nope,
well,
there's not. Those are your only other options.
Those are the only two.
Yep.
Well, out of those two, you know, I would probably have to lean Frank Mason just because of the production he put up. Now, you know, we all know the sub-6-foot point guard thing in the NBA. I mean, Isaiah Thomas is the exception and not the rule, and he's a pretty awesome exception from what you've seen in the NBA playoffs and, you know, dedicating everything to his sister and all those sorts of things. But, you know, he you could see a path to him succeeding. You could see a path to that happening. Svi Mykhailiuk, you know, he might be a guy that's underrated by certain people just because he's kind of, he's almost like the Alex Gordon to me of college basketball. It's like you look up and he doesn't have any glaring weaknesses, but he doesn't have any glaring strengths. So a lot of times we look in baseball and you say, oh, we want the guy that's a big power hitter or the guy that we know is going to steal 80 bases. And you can look, and it doesn't take great eyesight or great insight to know that those guys are really good players or have a standout tool. Whereas Svi Mykhailiuk, it's kind of like, well, he can shoot pretty well, and he can handle it okay in pick-and-roll settings, and he's a pretty good defender, and he can slide okay. And so it's like you get all these okays put together, and you say, well, that might be an okay player. You know, that could be a pretty good player that he just has a lack of weaknesses, but that usually doesn't excite people as much as a little bit more upside. So I guess if you're sticking me to it, I would take Frank Mason just based off the production and what he showed in college. But again, both of them have work to do to show that they can compete and be on an NBA team and with an NBA rotation or roster. And so all that will come about in the next few months, and we'll see how well they do.
Well, when you hear the news of Jack Whitman coming on for next season, the scholarship limit is now full. They've got all 13 guys signed on, but we still don't know what's going to happen with Svi. Like, in what ways do you think they could find a way to make this work, to make room for Svi if he does elect to come back for his senior year?
Yeah, it's interesting, and I know a lot of people have been talking about it, and it is kind of a fascinating topic when you have 14 players for the 13 scholarships, and that's not allowed. You know, that's not something that can happen. I think of it this way, though. I mean, we always talk about how it will shake out. It's going to shake out. You know, KU's coaching staff can count just as well as we can. You know, and they know a lot of times they kind of have to have this juggling act as well to say, oh, you need to recruit this guy, but you can't recruit this guy if this guy signs, and have kind of contingency plans in place. I just find it really unlikely that they pursued very hard Jack Whitman and offered him a spot on the team and offered him a scholarship without knowing what the contingency was, if that makes any sense. You know, if they thought that everybody was coming back, I don't think you pursue Jack Whitman. I don't think you go after him. I don't think Jack Whitman himself would come and sign with Kansas. So, you know, Svi Mykhailiuk obviously seems like the obvious one. And if he does as well in the NBA draft combine as he hopes, I think that maybe he would stay in the draft, and that's kind of the natural fit there. You know, the other thing that could happen, and again, I'm speculating here. This is no inside knowledge or anything like that. But, you know, the fact of the matter that Jack Whitman is a big man and Bill Self added to his big man rotation for next year would make you think that either Dwight Colby or Mitch Lightfoot, there could be one of those guys could have other plans coming out in the next month. And maybe if that did happen, it might be something that isn't released now or something that is going to come down the line but just isn't quite official yet. And again, that's just me speculating on behalf of what we know now. But again, the fact that a big man came into the rotation when they already had those guys there, it would lead you to believe that maybe one of those two guys could be headed somewhere else just based off what we know so far. So I don't know. I mean, it is kind of a fascinating thing. Yet you have the 14 for the 13, and Svi is not definitively leaving, even though if he did, that would very easily clear up the roster spot. But to add another big man with the rotation that KU had last year and with Billy Preston and Udoka Azubuike coming back, it would make you think that one of those two big men could potentially be on the way out if something doesn't turn over, or if Svi Mykhailiuk does decide to come back for his senior season next year.
We're talking to Jesse Newell of the Kansas City Star here on Rock Chalk Sports Talk, new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. You know, I think the natural reaction to hearing the Jack Whitman news was, oh, of course, well, Svi's gone now. Otherwise, they wouldn't have filled his scholarship. But when that news did come down of Whitman, was that your natural reaction to think that, oh, it's a foregone conclusion that Svi's not coming back?
Not necessarily, but you're right. It is tricky. I mean, this seems a little bit out of the norm for what happens because everybody follows those scholarships really closely. I mean, everybody's into recruiting now. It's pretty easy to count it and know, okay, they have this one left or this one left and they need to go do this. And it's a weird spot for KU to be in because if you remember the last couple of years, I mean, they've been kind of trying to take on bodies. You know, it's some of the transfers they brought in, they were two or three scholarships short. So you're kind of like, okay, you know, here, you take one just because otherwise it's kind of going to go to waste. So it's an interesting spot. You know, looking back at it, and I've said this before to you before, Nick, is Devontae Graham was the big one for Kansas. I mean, they needed a point guard, and they needed to figure out that point guard scenario heading into next year. And when he announced early that he was coming back, that was a huge win for Kansas. And that really solidified a spot that would have been a major need for them that they would have had to go out and fill in recruiting some way, somehow, whether it was JUCO or just putting the full-court press on Trayvon Duvall. But we've talked about this. With Svi, what's so interesting is, you know, KU can kind of sit around and wait and allow him to make his decision and be comfortable with that because, I mean, look at the 2-3 position for next year and the number of bodies they have and the number of guys they can play there. I mean, you're talking about, okay, even if Svi doesn't come back, well, Gerald Vick, he averaged a bunch of minutes last year. You're talking about Malik Newman, who Bill Self has already said he'd be surprised or disappointed if he's not an all-Big 12 type player next year. You got Marcus Garrett, who's a top 40 recruit coming in. You've got Sam Cunliffe, who's a talented transfer coming from Arizona State, who's known for his athleticism. So that's four guys that you're trying to force into that 2-3 spot. And that's if Svi Mykhailiuk doesn't come back. And Svi, you know, averaged just 27 minutes per game last year and started most games that weren't senior night for Kansas. So, I mean, you can see a scenario there where if all this news comes out positive for Svi for the NBA draft, that, you know, KU wishes him the best. And if he does decide to stay in that, you know, KU would definitely take him back, but there's absolutely depth of that position if he doesn't come back. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know for sure. I mean, you would think if he wanted to stick in it and that was an official thing, he would come out and say it, and there's no reason not to hire an agent and get, you know, help earlier on in the draft process. It doesn't seem like that's happened yet, but either way, it seems like whether it can be known official now or whether it is known to the public or just known to the coaching staff, it seems like that there is a scholarship available or otherwise KU wouldn't have pursued Jack Whitman. So one way or the other, this thing's going to get sorted out, and I would assume it's going to be sooner rather than later.
When you see Bill Self continuing to go after these transfer guys, it's not just this year, doing it last year with Malik Newman and Sam Cunliffe. Is this a direct response to perhaps, I'm not saying that Bill Self is against recruiting the one-and-done players, but he certainly hasn't done them at the high volume, like schools like Kentucky and Duke have over the past almost decade now. Is this a direct response to that, trying to find a way to still get, you know, top-level talent without having to go through the turnover that those types of programs do every single year?
It's an interesting thing. You know, I don't know how much of this, and we've talked to Bill Self about in the offseason. I think a lot of it is a little bit coincidental that you kind of get an opportunity for, you know, the two Memphis Lawson brothers to bring him in, and you don't turn down an opportunity like that. And, you know, Malik Newman was somebody that KU pursued early on, and then he decided to transfer, and they kind of get on him. But to me, it makes a lot of sense, and you hinted at this, for what Bill Self does, which is, you know, he is so big on winning the Big 12 every year and being consistent every single year. I mean, every single year Kansas seems like it's a one seed. You know, every single year they're at the top of the Big 12. Every single year, you know, they're competing for that championship and then, you know, one of the favorites when it comes to NCAA tournament time. And this kind of allows you to have your cake and eat it too, if you will. You know, if Bill Self likes the team he has going into next year with the players that he has, but at the same time, he also has that eye in the future and has, like the Lawson brothers, in practice and can kind of mold and think about and plan for a year in advance while knowing those guys are going to be with him that next season. And again, there's not as much variability there. There's not going to be, I don't know, a guy that doesn't turn out as well as you thought with the one and done. You know, the Josh Selbys of the world who came in and was injured and was suspended at the beginning and it just didn't pan out like they thought. Or Cliff Alexander, same sort of thing. Or a Sheck Diallo. I mean, it really seems like, and we'll see how this goes moving forward. Maybe it doesn't turn out this way, but if a Malik Newman turns out for Kansas really well, I mean, you could see this being a great option for Kansas because not only do they get to fish at the very top of the transfer barrel. I mean, Malik Newman, Lawson Brothers, all those guys are guys that not all teams out there can go get. You know, Iowa State has been living in the transfer market for a long time. Now Iowa State's got to be thinking, well, shoot, why is Kansas, you know, fishing in our pond now when they've been able to go get one and done? But, again, if this works out for Kansas and those sort of guys do pan out, then you can see why this would work for Bill Self because he could solidify his team for this year and at the same time have other talented guys in the program for the next year already start to work with them, already start to get them improving, already start to maybe envision what that looks like a year from now. And really, you have this very stable roster from year to year to year and don't have to worry about what the one-and-dones are going to do, both coming to your school and then potentially leaving your school after the first season there.
Talking to Jesse Newell on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN, because you look, I think it's always interesting to compare Kansas to Kentucky simply because Kentucky is kind of the poster child of the one-and-done era of college basketball. And Calipari is going to be bringing in his least experienced team he's ever had next year. This is a program that's averaging three freshmen that leave for the NBA per season, to whereas Bill Self's only had one time where more than one and done player left for the NBA, and that was the Wiggins Embiid year. We always say that if Bill Self could, he's not turning away talent. He wants to get as many of those guys as possible, but there's got to be some sort of direct correlation for the reason why he's not bringing in high volumes of them as schools like Kentucky and Duke, right?
Yeah, it's difficult to kind of measure what you want to measure with this too, because you know how do you determine who is getting the top recruits? I mean, because I could say to you right now, okay, here's the best way to determine who's getting the top recruits: who has gotten the most Rivals.com number one recruits in the last decade? You know what the answer is?
Is it Kansas?
Bill Self. Okay. You know, Bill Self has gotten the most of you. He's got Josh Selby, he's gotten Andrew Wiggins, he's gotten Josh Jackson. That's three of them. No other school has three. And so, you know, you can look at that way and say, well, Bill Self is recruiting on a level that nobody else is. I mean, he's getting the top end freshman talent coming in. Now, what you're talking about is, does he get multiple top 20 guys per year and then send them on the NBA the next year? And that isn't what Kansas has done. And you have kind of seen maybe a little bit of an ebb and flow with the kind of guys they've gotten in there too. You know, it seems like both big men and wings have been the one and done type talent that have come to Kansas to go on to the next level. You know, you've seen the Kelly Oubres, the Josh Jacksons, the Andrew Wiggins, even the Embiid, even though he wasn't considered at the time. You know, Thomas Robinson was a high recruit, even though he didn't play much his freshman year. But you've seen kind of those guys gravitate toward Kansas. And I'm also interested to see if that changes over time, because as we've seen from last year, you know, Bill Self altered his offense to kind of take advantage of a four-guard lineup, and the guards were very involved, and Frank Mason wins National Player of the Year, and so we might see a little bit of a shift there. Maybe point guards in the future will be able to look at Kansas, or top point guards will look at Kansas as more of a destination. But I think that maybe that's the difference that you're looking at is, for Bill Self, it's kind of been, you get the elite wings, you get some of the top big men that develop in your program, but the point guard and the shooting guard have kind of been this mismatch or mismatch of you know, the Tyshawn Taylors, the Elijah Johnsons, the Nadir Tharps, the Frank Masons, the Devontae Grahams, you know, kind of the guys that aren't seen as highly ranked and then kind of improve through the program, stay 3 or 4 years, have that stabilizing factor, whereas these other programs can bring in some of these top point guards and are okay, you know, shuffling them on and getting them through the program the next few years. I'm not sure if that's going to change, and I'm not sure if that's something to necessarily ding Bill Self for, because he's had success with these other guards, and he did recruit, you know, Sharon Collins back about a decade ago and brought him in, one of the top point guard prospects in the nation. But I guess we'll see moving forward. It does give KU a sense of stability, though, and that's what Bill Self has been so good at for such a long time, is that year after year after year, not only are we talking about the Big 12 title streak, we're talking about Kansas being in the NCAA tournament for a very long time, year after year after year consecutively, has been there every single year since the year after Larry Brown left, 89, I believe. So it's just a model of consistency for KU to get to the tournament every single year and give themselves a chance. And if Bill Self's going to play that way, then this transfer route definitely seems like a smart way to go, to know that not only do you have a good team this year, but you also have a good team next year coming in as well.
Yeah, when you look at what Kansas is going to bring back next year, you got a senior point guard, a third-year sophomore. If Svi comes back, another senior. If not, then you'd imagine it'll be LeGerald Vick as a junior, and then maybe a freshman in Billy Preston and a sophomore in Udoka Azubuike, a couple of fifth-year senior in Dwight Colby, a grad transfer in Jack Whitman coming off the bench. It looks to be one of the more experienced teams that Bill Self's had, while conversely, Kentucky's going to have one of the most inexperienced teams they've ever had. I do wonder if there are limitations to what Calipari is trying to do at Kentucky, and there are question marks every single year. Are they going to click? Are these guys going to be able to translate to the college level? And you just don't have those same questions with Bill Self and what they're doing, because these guys have all proven at the collegiate level that they can produce at a pretty efficient clip. It's just interesting. It kind of seems like the two programs are going in opposite directions, but Kansas doesn't really get the same national acclaim simply because they haven't had the tournament success. But I think that the stability factor that you mentioned has to bring a lot of optimism to Kansas fans.
Yeah, I think so. And again, we'll see how it turns out. And, you know, there are some downsides to it. I mean, one of the downsides we've talked about is just that, you know, first semester, Katie's going to have 9 scholarship players on the roster, you know, before Sam Cunliffe becomes eligible. So if you have a suspension here, you know, an injury there, you might start getting very thin because there's 3 guys on the bench that are sitting out that can only help you the next season. So that's where a thing can happen. But it's tough to tell, too, how much of it is just kind of small sample and how much of it can be attributed to kind of the high-risk, high-reward thing that Calipari does. You know, I mean, we're talking – I'm going back here in time and looking at the seeds for Kentucky. Kentucky in the last – well, here, since John Calipari got to Kentucky, they've been a 2-seed, a 4-seed, a 1-seed, an 8-seed, missed the tournament, we're in the NIT, a 1-seed, a 4-seed, and a 1-seed. But again, I mean, you're talking about you know, some national titles in that span. You're talking about one team that finished 38-2 that beat Kansas in the national championship game. You're talking about another team that was 38-1, almost had the undefeated run. I mean, I don't want to pigeonhole Kentucky into this box necessarily, but it does seem like more of a high-risk, high-reward strategy for John Calipari. You know, could there be a year where all these one-and-dones don't work out and they don't come in as panned or as planned and they aren't as good as you thought they were, and things just don't work out? Yeah, and then you make the NIT, and fans aren't happy about that. But is there an opportunity where you get an Anthony Davis and you get a Michael Kidd Gilchrist, and those guys are just clicking at the right time, they all come together, you get them to play hard, and then you have this team that is really, really, really good over the course of the season and is by far the best team in the tournament 1 year? I think that's possible, too. So, again, I think it just depends on how you want to play it, but I'm not surprised by the fact that Bill Self, who over time has valued the consistency that his team has been able to do things over and over again, that he is trying to kind of weave and go this route. Because to him, you know, the conference title streak is very important, and it should be. I mean, KU's going to break a record that is never going to be broken this next year if they're able to get number 14 in the competitive Big 12 conference. So you can understand why that would be of value to him to think about not only this year but the year after that and think about how he's had success in the past with some transfers and be able to develop them. So, yeah, it'll be fascinating to watch moving forward. And, again, some of this could just be a little bit of random variation and KU being able to grab a couple transfers they weren't sure they were going to be able to get, and they did. And all of a sudden you look up and there's 7 out of the 14 guys are transfers coming in next season. So some of that just might be a little bit of luck, but some of it might be, you know, Bill Self transitioning away from the way he's done things in the past and trying to get a little bit more stability down the line, knowing that these guys can come in, wait a year, get good in practice, and then help KU down the road, just like Malik Newman should for KU this year.
He's Jesse Newell. You can check out his work at the Kansas City Star and at KUHoops.com. As always, appreciate the time, my man.
All right, sounds good, Nick. Thanks.
All right, that's Jesse Newell. I'm Nick Schwartz. It's Rock Chalk Sports Talk on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN.